is kind of a special time to come out. It's the commencement reunion weekend that is coming up. And to hear talk about that and a lot of other things that are happening, we have the president of Oberlin College, Carmen Twilley-Ambar. Thank you for joining us this morning. And let me talk a little bit about, I guess, the this is a big weekend
it
for
is.
Oberlin College. Now, you were named about a year ago. Were you here at any time when this was going on?
No, I wasn't. So the first time, well, not the first time, but when I came back to campus, it was after reunion weekend. So this will be my first time experiencing what reunion weekend looks like. It seems like 4 days of excitement and, for me, a lot of running around to a lot of places and early morning rises and late nights, but a lot of fun.
And you get to see those people that were part of Oberlin College, still
right.
consider it very important in their lives,
right.
and then the new
graduates.
Class,
right. It's
too.
One of the things that I really love about the way Oberlin does this, and some colleges do it and some colleges don't, but the idea of combining commencement and reunion allows the graduates to sort of see the group of people that they're joining and to have that welcoming moment, but also see what it means to be a part of this special community that is an OB, right? And so it's a lot of events that are combined, but also it culminates in graduation.
They get to see themselves in 10, 20, 40 years from now.
That's right. That's right. And, of course, you know, you're celebrating different classes, but the class that sort of gets the most celebration is the class that's graduated 50 years ago. And so they get a chance to see themselves 50 years from now, which I think is always an interesting moment.
Right. And it's fun to see some of the older folks come back to sort of see the college and their memories of what they remember and how things have sort of changed and realize that, like anything, a college is sort of an ever-evolving experience in place.
Right. It's what I say about it is that it, you see the past and you see the things that haven't changed, but hopefully you see some things that have changed. If an institution was totally stagnant, that wouldn't be great. But what you hope happens is that the core of who the institution is hasn't changed. And I think that will be true for all the Oberlin grads who show up.
A couple of years ago, I was here for commencement. Michelle Obama was the featured speaker
right.
then. Very inspirational. And I'm sure that whoever puts that together is looking for someone to inspire the students, whether
right.
it's in politics or just living life to the fullest. Can you talk about this year's commencement speaker?
So this year's commencement speaker is David Sedaris, and he's sort of a satirist who tries to talk about today's world from this very observant perspective, but also with a little humor as well. And so I think he should be interesting. He talks about the human condition and tries to address it from the satirical perspective. So I'll be interested to see how he approaches the world as it exists today. And hopefully he'll talk a little bit about the world as he hopes it exists as these students enter it.
You've been president for about a year now,
right?
Roughly. I was at the conference, news conference, where you were introduced to everybody.
Right.
And you spoke about your parents in particular mm. and how much they meant to you on your journey. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I found that very enlightening and inspiring.
So my parents are really fantastic. And my mom grew up in this really small town, went back to get her PhD when she was married and had three children. And that was really an inspiration to me in showing me that a life of the mind and family life could exist in the same human being. But my dad really was critically important because he grew up on a farm picking cotton all of his formative years in a little town that they pejoratively referred to as Dark Corner, in the way that you sometimes referred to African-American communities at that time. And he would say to me that he would be out picking cotton and he would look up in the hot beating sun and he would say to himself, I don't know what I want to do, but I know I don't want to do this. And so I was trying to give the group in the room that day the sense that for me, I've gone from one generation from picking cotton to the opportunity to be president of Oberlin. And just to talk about that transition that can happen for families when you have the opportunity to attend places like Oberlin, and how much this can mean for not only your own personal life goals, but also changing your family's trajectory. And so one of the goals we have here at Oberlin is for this to be an institution that all types of students can attend, that they can have that arc of transition in their family. But even if you have plenty of people in your family that have gone to college, the truth of the matter is this opportunity transforms your life and opens up so many doors. And hopefully people feel thankful for that opportunity, but that the institution also provides a framework for them to go out and achieve in the world in all the ways they want to.
What are some of the things that you've started to do in your first year, maybe to go in that direction,
right,
or things that you've tried to implement?
So this has been an interesting year for me. You know, first of all, you sort of have to try to figure out and understand the community and sort of get a sense of that. So I've gone around to do a lot of that work. We started to think a lot about what it means for students to have the type of academic experience that deeply connects them to their life after Oberlin. So we've been talking a lot about undergraduate research, about internships, about study abroad, about experiential learning. How can we make sure that students have all of those pieces together so they can, yes, you learn here, yes, you think here, but you also do while you're here. And so what is the doing part of the work? And that's what internships and experiential learning is about. Next year, we'll be taking all of the first-year students in orientation to Cleveland. To sort of make sure that they get out in Elyria and Lorraine and Cleveland and think about their work in interesting ways. And then I also hope that we will be doing some work around our winter term and having that be an experience that all students get connected in this experiential way. So those are the big things on the horizon. Besides all of the fun things I get a chance to do, like conduct the orchestra, which is my first big experience when I came to Oberlin. They allowed me to go and conduct the orchestra, and I thought to myself, there's no other place in the country where the president gets a chance to conduct the orchestra.
Do you have a musical background?
I do. So, interesting, while my mom was away doing some of those years getting her PhD, my grandmother was really intent on me learning to play the piano. So she found me my first piano teacher, brought me my first piano, and so I spent all of my early years playing the piano. And I really had to decide when I was in high school whether to apply to a conservatory or to choose another route. So the opportunity to take what I've considered a sort of a personal way of decompressing at the end of the day, which is to go in and play the piano, to have the opportunity to bring that into my professional life has been really interesting. So conducting the orchestra was a highlight. I think no matter how long I'm here at Oberlin, I'm sure I'll look back on that moment as one of the highlights of my experience.
Well, you can't really go around campus without hearing music coming from somewhere.
That's right. That's right.
Whether it's one of the chapels or the rehearsal halls, and this is the time of the year they were doing a lot of the senior recitals, I believe.
Right, that's right. So my office building is actually right next to Finney Chapel, and so you can hear students practicing all the time. The orchestra has their rehearsals there on Fridays, so you can oftentimes hear music around this campus. And it's interesting, you know, the dichotomy between the work and practice and intensity it takes to master an instrument is the same work and practice and intensity it terms to master a discipline. So what is happening on our campus is students are spending their time mastering their disciplinary work, whether that's in chemistry or whether that's in environmental science or whether that's the oboe, right? And they literally go out and change the world in all of these interesting ways as artists, as writers, as mathematicians, but grounded, I think, in this spirit of social justice and trying to change the world for good. And I think that's one of the things that makes Oberlin distinctive.
Coming from outside, sort of hearing about Oberlin and then seeing it and being there for a whole year, what is your, not opinion, but what things have you kind of understood more about it than you maybe didn't know before?
You know, I think it's an interesting place. It's an eclectic group of students. And one of the things that I think I didn't appreciate as much, but now having been on campus, is just how important that is to students' learning. So one of the things I talk about in all the admissions events that I do, as I say to parents and students why I think Oberlin is the best college in the country, and we talk about our dedicated faculty, we talk about our staff, we talk about the academic experience and student life experience, but one of the things I think makes Oberlin so distinctive are the students that are attracted to this institution. And if you talk to these Oberlin graduates, if you all were here at the weekend and you talk to them, they will talk about the learning that occurred amongst their colleagues. So yes, they learned from faculty. Yes, they learned from their disciplinary work, but they also learned from their fellow students. And there's no other more interesting, eclectic, bright, capable students that exist here at Oberlin. And I've learned that in spades since I've been here. And I know that when prospective students show up on this campus, they realize that they're going to learn as much from their colleagues as they learn in the classroom and outside the classroom. And that's what makes Oberlin special. That's why they're still connected to each other 20, 30, and 40 years later, because they're still learning from each other.
Are you surprised that, I guess maybe that's not the word, but they attract students from all over the world to come here?
I wasn't surprised with that, but I guess, When you, I got a chance to visit a lot of classes. It's one of the things I did in my first time here, just go around and visit classes. And, you know, the types of conversations that spill out of the classroom onto a Wilder Bowl, in the library, in the residence halls, they're continuing that sort of deep discussion about the work that's happening in their class. And I would say that sometimes on some college campuses, you know, when class is over, the sort of academic piece of things ends and people sort of go on to the next phase of their life. But that's not what's happening at Oberlin. Students are still wrestling with the complicated questions of the world, even as they leave the classroom with their colleagues. And I think that's why at the end of the day, you see so many accomplished Oberlin graduates in all of these different fields, because they are continuing to try to piece together these complicated challenges and to try to solve them. And I just think it's one of the beautiful things about Oberlin.
Sometimes colleges have a hard time attracting students or getting their enrollment up. And
right.
Seems that in the, you know, from a outside world standpoint, college debt becomes sort of, you know, we never really thought about it. And now it's becoming something that's almost like front up, first of all, what people are thinking of. Can they afford this education? How is it going to work? Are you finding those challenges happening?
Yes,
too?
I think that Oberlin is not unlike every college in the country trying to match up what it means to choose an institution like Oberlin, what it means to afford an institution like Oberlin, and trying to get the best and brightest students to choose us. And what's interesting for places like Oberlin is that there's a declining number of high school graduates nationally. And that's impacting all colleges. And so there's just fiercer competition for a smaller group of people. And then you layer that on top of the increasing cost of college. And I think also competition from unlikely sources. So, you know, parents having to make choices between, you know, a really great state institution with a wonderful honors college that is speaking like their small private liberal arts colleges, small a number of students and faculty size. So I think that those are all part of the work that Oberlin has to do, along with Dartmouth and all these other wonderful institutions. How do you talk about this experience and help students see its value, but also try to contain costs? And I think Oberlin's tried to do that, but it's ever a battle. But I think we're up to it. You know, Oberlin's been around 184 years, and I think that our reputation, our faculty, our staff, and our commitment to access will be things that we maintain, even though we may have to do some difficult things in order to do that.
This alumni weekend, commencement weekend, kind of with those alumni, is sort of recharging your forces in a sense out there. You've got those people coming back, getting them in touch with their college years. They can be the goodwill ambassadors out there in the world for you.
Absolutely. But the other thing I had a chance to do this year is that I traveled really all over the country. I think in a couple of weeks I'll be in Denver, and that will be my 12th or 13th city. We tried to go to all of the large cities where there's a large group of Oberlin alumni. I think we had something like 500 people at the New York event. So we've really been all over the country trying to help Oberlin graduates meet me, understand where the institution is headed. So in some ways, I'm hoping that when they come back this weekend, I'll be just reunited with some friends that I've met all over the country, and that we'll be able to continue this conversation about what it means to be a liberal arts college in the 21st century.
Are you excited for the illumination? That's always something that
people... you know, people keep talking to me about that. And so I keep, you know, hearing about these sort of signature events that I don't know yet, but I will know. So that's one. Old Circus is an interesting one. Some people know that my husband and I have 11-year-old triplets. So we're also trying to figure out what events they can go to. So Old Circus. And then the organ pump, where you lay on the ground and someone's playing the organ and you feel the vibrations of the organ. So I'm looking forward to some really interesting events this week. And excited about it.
Yeah. Well, it's an experience for everybody, and it's kind of the town kind of grows in size for that one weekend.
I can imagine.
Absolutely, as well. The hotel at Oberlin is ready for them. People to
I'm
come
sure
see.
They are. I'm sure they are. They'll be overwhelmed with people who will be excited to be here.
We'll be talking with the chef, head chef, and see what he's going to maybe getting more people hired and starting getting the meals prepped for
Is there going to be some special meals? I hope so.
We'll see. Absolutely. Well, we appreciate your time stopping in this morning and hosting us here at the hotel at Oberlin. We are sponsoring or broadcasting from Oberlin College. It's Carmen Tulley Ambar, the president. Thanks for stopping in. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It's great meeting you, too. And coming up on WEOL, we've